We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. And so we take just a moment to confess to God in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, I am sorry for my sins with all my heart. In choosing to do wrong and failing to do good, I have sinned against you, whom I should love above all things. Help me to avoid whatever leads me to sin. Our Savior Jesus Christ suffered and died for me. In his name, have mercy on me. Amen. It is in the mercy of Almighty God that Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Amen.
At the beginning of his reign, King Solomon asked God for wisdom to rule Israel wisely. He received that wisdom but used it selfishly. Solomon's heart was turned to worshiping other gods, and he built temples for them at the request of his many wives. How will God prevail? Praise the Lord that God's steadfast love endures forever. Our reading is from 1 Kings chapter 11. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father has done. On the hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Shemeth, the detestable god of Moab, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you all please join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift and work of your Holy Spirit. Pour your Holy Spirit into each one of us that we may be healed by your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. Boy, a text like this, you know, you don't want to, like, go through all of this and you see, you know, he did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifice to their gods. And something to keep in mind here when it says keep, he built these high places, he built these altars for all of his wives. Keep in mind, he had 700 wives. 700. And 300 concubines besides. And when you talk about 700 wives, you know, I was just thinking about something. That, how do you remember the anniversary? I mean, what do? Have a big sign that every day just says, happy anniversary, dear? Because you're going to hit roughly two a day. Anyway, we're not going to go any further with that. But... you know, Solomon is King David's son. And one of the things that we see again and again and again throughout Scripture is, you know, everybody's hopeful that this king will be the one to deliver us. This king is going to be this leader is going to be the one that will save us in some way, shape, or form. And one of the things that we see again and again and again in Scripture is that while these leaders often have very strong points, that salvation only comes from one place, that healing only truly comes from one place, and that is from the Lord. And so King David's son, Solomon, takes the throne after David's death, And shortly thereafter, he has an encounter with the living God. He has this dream, and God speaks to him. And this is very early in Solomon's reign. And God asks him, "What do you want from me?" And Solomon says, "Lord, I want a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong." And he says, "I'm a child. I don't know how to do this. So give me that heart to distinguish between right and wrong." And the Lord was pleased. And he gives him exactly that. He gives him wisdom that was unsurpassed to that day. And we're told that no one was like him then or ever. And and what becomes very clear in those opening years of Solomon's reign was that God had given this gift to Solomon to be used for God's purposes and for God's glory. And this man became a fabulous businessman. You know, we hear of his wisdom and all, but he was also a fabulous businessman. We're told that Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt even. But I want to give you a little picture of how brilliant he was. And Israel, that if you look on a map, you know, today we don't think of it this way because we have shipping and trains and we have all, you know, Suez Canal, we have all these things. Well, in that day, 1000 BC, shipping just wasn't, I mean, there was some. Everything had to be moved by land. And Israel was in the sweet spot. It was what we call a land bridge in geography. And from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River was about 40 to 60 miles wide. And if you went further east, it was all desert. You couldn't move a lot of goods through that kind of place. And so Solomon decided, you know what? I'm going to build fortresses on the north and in the south to protect all of these travelers. And here's the thing. It was the only land bridge between the entire continent of Africa, which included the major, major powers of Ethiopia and Egypt, and land bridge up to Europe, European continent, and the Asian continent. Everything had to go through Israel. And so Solomon said, I'm going to do this. And he was probably the very first one to come up with the idea of a toll road. You wonder how he got his wealth? A toll road. He charged and charged and charged those caravans and built up enormous wealth. So he was a master negotiator, a diplomat, a politician. He was incredibly knowledgeable. Scripture in Kings, we hear, the book of Kings, we hear that he knew everything about plant biology to critters and everything. He wrote poetry and songs. We're told, thousands of psalms, or proverbs, thousands of songs even. He was a master of literature, justice, diplomacy, commerce, finance. He knew it all. And he starts out very strong. He builds up the wealth of Israel, and he starts building to protect the people and to help the people flourish. But there's a point at which he begins to build monuments to himself. The palaces and fortresses, and then eventually the great temple in Jerusalem. But as things start moving on, you get these clues in Scripture that, you know, how does he build it? Well, he starts demanding that his own people work for free to build all this. So once the harvest was in, he'd say, okay, all of you that are farmers or you have herds, you need to come in and give me a third of your year to build all of this. How do you think the people felt about that? Well, The other thing that he did, that master of diplomacy, remember all the nations of the world basically are, well, at least that part of the world from three continents are traveling through Israel. They start hearing about Solomon's wisdom. They come to listen. And he starts making all of these treaties. Ever wonder why he had 700 wives? Well, every time you made a treaty, a lot of times the way you sealed the treaty was you got the daughter of a king or daughter of one of the leaders of that place. So we have an idea that, you know, somewhere south of 700 treaties that he made, he got a wife for each one of those, from each one of those. And we begin to see that that is part of his downfall. Because when Solomon eventually starts using his incredible wisdom on himself, where it turns inward, things start going bad. One of the things St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he reminds us about the nature of knowledge. He says, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Solomon, was he ever puffed up? And as he had got all of these, he was married, you would think that he would, as wise a man as he was, that he would know and understand God's word and hold it close. Now, here's the thing. Do you think he understood God's word? Oh, yeah. But is it one thing to understand and another thing to hold close and to follow it? Deuteronomy 7 says this, you shall not intermarry with them. Joshua 23, same thing. It's really clear, don't do this. And the reason given here in Scripture is that these foreign wives will draw your hearts away from the one true God. And that's what we get. If we go to 1 Kings 11, which we heard just a moment ago, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David had been. And we heard a couple weeks ago, how did that go? Not well. And he followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Amorites. He did all the same for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifice to their gods. And I want to say something about Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites, because to get you an idea of how far his heart had gotten away. And remember, it says that he built temples for all of his wives' religions. They brought their religions with them. They didn't convert to Judaism. Moloch, we hear again and again and again about Moloch, that god that was worshipped. And the way, and we archaeologically, we found these dragon-looking things with these giant mouths. And the idea was you appease the god Moloch to get blessings in your life or to stave off disaster by sacrificing your firstborn children. And they would, and this is just horrible, but they would actually light a fire in the statue of Moloch and take their child and put it in the mouth. That's who Solomon built. He built those dragons. How far did he fall? Talk about an epic fail. Our hope is not in human beings. Jesus tells a parable about the sower and the seed. And St. Mark, Mark records that parable. And part of that says, still others like seed sown among the thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You see, Solomon was created to serve. He was given these gifts to serve the people, given his abilities for the benefit of others. But his self-focused sinfulness choked the seed that was planted. And it actually set the stage for the crumbling of the nation of Israel, which would come after his death. But here's the thing. How's God going to prevail through all this? What's the point of just, other than learning about how lousy Solomon was at the end of his life? You see, though Solomon would fail, there is one who was a descendant of King David, a descendant of Solomon who would use everything entrusted to him for the glory of God, one who would serve without limit. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus was the son of David, the descendant of David, the Savior of the world. It is Jesus, because of Jesus, we don't look to worldly leaders. We don't look to the things of this world for deliverance or healing. We're told in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to what? To serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. And St. Paul outlines for us what that means for us. And as we look at Jesus, how we are to be mirroring who Jesus is and was to us. In Philippians chapter 2, we hear, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see, Jesus lived the life that Solomon was meant to live. The king was meant to be a servant of the people. King Solomon was, King David was, but you know what? It wasn't just the king. It was every person was meant to serve. But Jesus lived that life Solomon was meant to live, but didn't. And Jesus lived the life that we are meant to live, but don't. We sang, just as I am. And we come before the Lord, and we have to do it with humility to say, Lord, I haven't. Now what? What now? How, God, what are you going to do with me? This feels like a giant confession of the sinfulness of humanity, the sinfulness of Solomon, and all of it, but all of us as well. What are we supposed to do? Well, Scripture gives us the answer. And it's God pointing to Jesus as the only cure, the only one. Not wealth or power or anything else or achievement. Not relationships, not knowledge. None of it brings healing. I love the story of the woman who had been suffering for 12 years with a flow of blood. And Matthew 9 records this. He said, just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind Jesus, and she touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. As the Scriptures point to Jesus, as the Lord God points to Jesus for us, you and I, what's the answer? We come to Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to come close. And in a moment of faith, to reach out and touch even the edge of his robe Because as we do so, as we trust him, we will be healed. We invite you to do that. The Lord invites you to do that. And it's not just one time. It's again and again and again, day after day, to come and touch the hem of his robe. And the great news is, what does Jesus do? He doesn't just say, touch the hem of my robe. He says, take my hand. Look at Jesus taking Peter's hand there. That's him for you. May we pray. Lord God, we thank you that you take our hand and heal us. Heal us of our selfishness. Heal us of our desire to serve only ourselves. Heal that mindset. Heal our hearts, that we may be out there loving and serving as you have created us to be, in full knowledge and understanding that we are precious to you and are called to a higher purpose in this life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, we're going to sing and also receive the morning offering, as well as those. If you have a communication card and a prayer request, please share it.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we love you, for you are our strength, you are our fortress, you are our Savior. You are our rock in whom we find protection, our shield, and our place of safety. So Lord, bless us this day with that reassurance of your presence in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for our nation and we pray for leaders throughout the world that they would work for justice and peace. Watch over those of our active duty military personnel for all first responders as they keep us safe and protect us. Bring peace, Lord, also in the Middle East, in Ukraine, and in Southeast Asia and other places where there is turmoil. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, with a word or a touch, you brought healing to the sick or the ill. And so come, Lord Jesus, and bring your healing to those who are before us, those who were hospitalized this last week, Bill Breen and Roy Klain, for all others who may be undergoing treatment or physical therapy or test or experiencing any daily pain. Lord, we also want to lift up before you those who grieve. We pray especially for the family and friends of Leroy Young and Bob Tice, as they grieve that loss, but also remember the promise and the hope of the resurrection to new life through you. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, as you extend your hand to all who are in need, we especially this day pray for any who may have experienced a prenatal loss due to miscarriage or stillbirth or other circumstances. Continue, Lord, to hold them in the palm of your hand. Comfort them with your love and give them your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, into your hands now we command all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Savior Jesus Christ, who now taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing our closing song, "Shall We Gather at the River." Just a couple reminders. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We do have a prayer minister. Ken will be up here if you need any prayer requests. He will be praying over you or with you this morning. Also a reminder, we have the breakfast bar down in the fellowship hall along with Sunday school for all ages in different locations throughout the campus here. So remember that. Also, you'll see the insert for the women's ensemble. The information's there. Women, Katie would like y'all to sing, so pay attention to that. Come and join us for that. That's all that I have in the way of announcements. It is time for our sending. The worship's now ended.
And the service begins.
We leave to live out God's call.
To save the lost and strengthen the saved.
May we go to be and make disciples.
Bless and teach in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Remember this promise. He is with you always.
Even until the end of time.
May God bless your new week. Amen.